I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Martinez, score!
It's time for our Monday Atlanta United recap with 92.9 The Game soccer analyst Jason Longshore on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into what's going on with our Atlanta United with the analyst for our club. His name is Jason Longshore. If you're new to the program, follow him at Longshore on Twitter, and he joins us in studio this week. First things first, yesterday's match, before we get into some, you know, tactics and formations and all the things that everybody wants to talk about, second half, my opinion, sloppy, flat, no sense of urgency, and it cost us. What was your opinion of the inability to really finish a team that was not doing anything, literally for, you know, 70 minutes of the match?
Sloppy, 100% sloppy, and I think that's tired legs. I really do at the end, because I wouldn't say flat, no urgency. I think part of the problem is this team's in its own head a little bit right now, in terms of you want to build possession, you want to control possession, you want to connect the easy passes, make the simple pass. I'm close to you, I'm going to play you the ball. Sometimes to open things up, you have to make the more difficult ball. Sometimes you have to even play long to give the ball away to win it back in a counter press. Right now, it feels like it's always the same tempo. And that's not what will work against the team in Cincinnati, who gave up a goal early and said, you know what, we don't want to get run out of the building. We're going to sit back and defend and make life difficult for you. And they did.
It is our man Jason Longshore. Follow him at Longshore. And again, guys, we're right back in action for Monterey. We've got to score four goals, by the way, on Wednesday night in the CCL. Here's the thing. Everybody's got a theory. All the soccer heads where I sit in section 208. Obviously, we knew we were going to miss Miggy. But is Miggy's speed and what he does, is there any way that Tito Villalba can kind of give you some of that? And where was he yesterday?
Don't know where he was yesterday other than the bench. Not sure what the option is there. Miguel Almiron is a special player. And what Atlanta United had in 2017 especially, where they were still figuring it out, where they were in this type of frame where it's all about building a philosophy. And you're going to have bumpy patches in it. What you always had then was speed. You could play over the top and just keep it simple and let Miguel and let Tito run onto something and see what happens. You don't have that right now. That's not PT Martinez's game. That's not Ezequiel Barco's game. They want the ball. They want to combine. They want to dribble. They're not going to be looking for that ball over the top. You have to play to them. Their back is to goal. Then they have to combine. There's so many pieces that have to work right now. When it's working, it can look great, as it did against Herediano in the second leg. When it's not working, it looks very static and it looks very bland at times. And that's not what we associate with Atlanta United.
Joseph sprints off the pitch yesterday. How frustrated do you think he is? And was that just a function of us in a match that we felt like we should have won? Or is that a culmination of what we've seen over the last four or five matches?
I think you have to understand the Latin player. There's this thing here about after a soccer game, and you see it whether it's at, you know, Silverbacks Park with the old Atlanta Silverbacks or in the second division or other MLS cities, where, you know, it's still looked at as a very fan-friendly, got the kids out, got to go shake hands with the kids. Look, that's not how it's played around the rest of the world. You don't expect Matt Ryan, after having a bad day, to hang around and take selfies, right? You know? And Joseph Martinez should not be expected to do the same. Leandro Gonzalez Pires left quickly. They're angry. They don't want to lose matches. That's completely normal. I think that's a good thing. I'd feel worse if they were hanging around and everything looked like it didn't bother them.
Jason Longshore here breaking it down for us as Atlanta United, by the way, no one is running away if you're worried about just two games into the MLS season. Everybody in the Eastern Conference is basically in the same boat. We're just 3 points out of first place. That said, all right, so what are we going to do here? I mean, are we going to have to really wait till after the Philadelphia Union game to have those 2 weeks to rest our guys up? I mean, is this where our lot in life is? We just can't seem to get things cooking, and the only thing that's going to make things better is rest?
I think you take Wednesday's game as an opportunity to see if there's something different you can do on Sunday against Philadelphia. It's not must win on Sunday, but it kind of has that feel to it, right? Because of the vibe right now. It's not in terms of the standings. It's not in terms of the playoffs. It is in terms of changing the narrative. And I think a win Sunday before that two-week break would be really critical. And you're facing a Philadelphia Union squad that has looked really bad, very bad defensively, and they're missing their playmaker who's suspended due to red card.
And just to follow up, so I know you've talked about this with Mike on the broadcast. Is this just the worst way you could start your career in the, running an MLS team if you're Frank DeBoer because of how the schedule played out?
In terms of the schedule, yeah, it's incredibly difficult because you're having to, whether you like it or not, and I know the conversation at the beginning was evolution, not revolution, you're not making major changes. Once you get into it, without Miguel Almiron, it's a very different team. It has a different personality, and you have to then get used to Pity Martinez and the personality he brings to you on the field. He didn't win South American Player of the Year like on a fluke. The guy's a player. He just got called up to play next to Lionel Messi with the Argentina national team, but he's not settled yet. You can see it. He's not comfortable. He's not on the same page with his teammates yet in terms of combination play. That takes time. Okay. It's easy when you bring in a new player who has the speed element and you can play over the top and keep it simple. With a guy like Pity, you've got to figure out how to get the best out of him and how he can get the best out of his teammates.
It is Jason Longshore joining us. Folks tweeting at me going, Dukes, have Longshore convince me to get off or not to get on the DeBoer out train, which is something that, that was tweeting yesterday or trending.
Right.
And I appreciate this, but I have to ask, how flexible is our manager? And what does he have to do to help us be more of an attacking style team? I get the Pity part of it. Mm-hmm. I understand the players' aspect of it. But what does our manager have to do? What is his responsibility in this?
That's what we're going to have to find out, because right now it's not working. And the match yesterday was the worst match we've seen so far. You'd think it'd be edging to the better side of things.
Right.
Yesterday felt like a step back. And the biggest thing for me, I think we get really hung up on formation. And this was something that we talked about yesterday. I don't think the formation matters right now. I think it's a bigger problem than that.
Okay, so Jace, real quick, not to interrupt, because we got soccer fans, United fans listening right now, and they're going, okay, this is all we're talking about. So you're saying the 4-3-4, all that doesn't really
matter. The 3-4-3
doesn't matter.
Is not the issue, because you can be in a – let's take last year, for example. 3-5-2. You came out and you started in a 3-5-2. You were a very attack-minded 3-5-2.
Mm-hmm.
Postseason, you were not an attack-minded 3-5-2. It's the same formation.
Tata pivoted, changed the strategy a bit,
but it's the same formation. We get hung up on formation. Like, that defines the tactics. That defines the philosophy. No. The philosophy is number one. The philosophy is possession. Right now, the problem is that possession is not leading to chances because you can't get behind a low-block defense. You can't get behind a team like Cincinnati that plays four with three midfielders in front. There's no penetration, whether it's from wide or from through ball centrally or over the top. Zero. So when you're not penetrating, you can put them in a 4-3-3, 4-4-2, 3-5-2. It doesn't matter if you're not creating chances.
All right, Jason Longshore is here trying to get us off the ledge. It just, everybody wants to know, what's the secret then? How do we get Pity in a place to succeed? How does Barco use his amazing skill set to do things? Are we going to have to get Breck Shea off the pitch? Because it seems like he's a stop sign right now.
Breck Shea's struggling at the moment. I thought Breck Shea was really effective against Arrigiano in the second leg. He's played a lot of minutes since then. George Bello is a guy who can stretch a team a little bit with his speed.
Escobar going to make things better?
Yeah, because he's a guy who can stretch a team with his speed. I mean, compare Escobar to Gressel. Gressel's not getting in behind players. Escobar is. And right now, Pity, Barco, Joseph, that's not their game. They're not trying to get in behind guys. You need the guys out wide to get behind the outside backs of the opposition. That forces them to get stretched out. That creates more opportunity centrally. It's all about that movement. And yesterday, you look at it, it's very static. And that's a problem because it's easy for the defense. They keep everything in front of them. It's hard to create chances, hard to create shots.
Now, I'm glad you said that because, you know, I said yesterday's match was boring. And that's my opinion, you know, from what I'm used to seeing, okay? And I think what you just said, we made it easy for them to play that way, and the style that ultimately played out was boring because of it. Everyone I'm talking to around the country, Jason, just said exactly what you just said, and that is get our guys out wide, right? Create those opportunities. And I'm going, okay, listen, I've never managed a soccer club in my life, but I know enough people in soccer who continue to tell me this. Why can't we do that?
Well, one reason you haven't been able to do it is George Bello was hurt after the first leg of the Arellano series, and Franco Escobar hasn't been available since the first day of training camp. That's a problem, because Breck Shea's not a guy who's going to stretch the back line. Julian Gressel's not a guy who stretches the back line. Julian Gressel's a guy who really helps you in other ways, and Breck Shea does as well, but they're not guys to stretch a team out. And when you have a lot of players who want the ball at their feet and they're looking to combine or play sideways, it's tough when a team sits deep.
Right. You know, we've talked about, you know, the great job that Darren Eales has done, winning all the accolades, executive of the year, and him and Carlos, fantastic job. And then we saw last night, and yeah, great job by the crowd to give Greg Garza a nice round of applause.
Yes, that was outstanding.
And I understand we made money, and it made sense at the time, but I mean, do we miss a guy like Garza right now as well?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree.
Oh, just because the overall concern with Greg is, as much as we love him, he just can't stay healthy, so it made sense to move on.
I mean, you're missing him because you had Bello get injured. And I think that's the biggest thing here, is if you have George Bello from game one, and people got on Bello in Arellano because it's your first game under a new manager on the road in Costa Rica on an unfamiliar surface, and Bello was okay. Bello had one mistake that committed a foul, then led to a free kick and a goal. Bello was okay, and he's 17 years old. He's going to get better when he plays, but what he gives you is he can stretch a team out because of his speed. You have to take that into account if you're defending it. Atlanta has to find a way, whatever shape you're in, to go from being a possession team but mix up the tempo some. What it felt like yesterday, you talk about it being boring.
Yes.
What it felt like yesterday is you go to the orchestra and the conductor keeps the orchestra at the same tempo for 2 hours.
Yes.
You have to speed it up and slow it down. If it's all the same, it's predictable. If you speed it up sometimes, put your foot on the gas and go fast,
right,
even if it's Julian going down the wing against traffic, okay. See what happens. Then play off of that. Play a ball over the top to win the second ball. You have to change the tempo sometimes, or it gets predictable.
They kind of did that in the second half down in Mexico, right, against Monterrey for a bit.
In that 15-20-minute span where I thought they played as well as they've played in 2019, where they took the game's initiative and put Monterrey on the ropes a little bit, they were doing that, and they were going over the top a little bit. Pity Martinez was flaring out to the wing because he could find space there to operate. You're not doing that enough right now. And it's just not consistent enough. And that has to change. And this is a team with so much firepower, they have to find a way to get past teams that play a low block. We've seen it before.
Yeah,
we've talked about it before. They have to find the way with this group of players to do it.
Okay. Jason, thank you for... I just stepped back a few feet off the ledge, okay?
A few feet? Did I get you back a few feet?
A few feet, okay?
Are you still looking?
I mean, yes, like I said, I'm still looking because I'm concerned.
Fair enough.
We just don't,
it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have these discussions, though.
It's so tough when you... I feel like I got a jet ski in a bathtub right now with this team.
Jason Longshore, we'll be down there. We're working on it, as a matter of fact. To be down there broadcasting on Wednesday for the Monterrey match. Thank you, sir. Great job. Follow him. Longshore. I hope he helped you like he just helped me.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.